you for downloading this message from our Father's house.
Who's ready for the word? How many receives the word you've already got? We're going to go to two places this morning. And man, this word is in my spirit. Excuse me, I can't wait to deliver it. Where's those? Can you give me some lyrics on those first two songs? One of you guys, Jill, please. I'm sorry. Don't worry, I'm not going to sing. I just want the lyrics. I heard that. Caleb said, praise the Lord. I'm not going to amen you next time you preach now. Is this it? These are the first two songs you did, right? I'm just going to go ahead and tell you that they already preached my message with the first two songs. Jill preached it in the first one, and Stephanie preached it again with the second one. And I was bubbling over inside. Let's go to Luke chapter 24 first, and then we're going to go to Romans chapter 6. Oh, God, let us get your word. Let us get your word in us. Jesus. Luke 24. Luke chapter 24, verse 1. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. Somebody say they brought spices to anoint a dead body. Wow. Keep that thought. They found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not. Everybody say found not. They found not the body of the Lord Jesus, and it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said to them, why seek you the living among the dead? Somebody say alive. He's not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his word. Somebody say again, say he's alive. Come on, say he's not dead, but he's alive. Oh, glory. Let's say that one more time. Say he's not dead, but he's alive. Now turn to Romans chapter 6. I want you to preach back to me this morning. Can I just say this real quickly? And this is the passion that I have for this type of preaching, this type of message. And you guys know I told the folks that came out on Friday night for the prayer service on Good Friday that it was just a little short preview of what I was going to share this morning. But how many... You got to understand that what was stolen in the garden, that Jesus came to restore what was stolen in the garden. Amen. We got to get this. This has to become, I want to so jump ahead a page, but this has to become personal to us. We have to get past the historical relevance of the resurrection of Jesus, and we have to get to the personal connectivity. You'll get that in a minute. But what God intended in the garden, Jesus came to restore. What was taken in the garden, he came to give it back. Jesus came to save that which was lost. Amen. That's why I came. Amen. Now, how many know we go through things? I'm not going to stand behind this pulpit and say, everything's going to be perfect. Come to Jesus and everything's going to be perfect. You're never going to have a problem. You're never going to have a heartache. You know, that's that kind of preaching is not true. And there's people that are preaching that. You know, oh, it's just you come to Jesus and everything is great. Everything's perfect. Listen, you face things. Amen? We're persecuted, aren't we? For righteousness' sake. We go, you know, the tribulations. We go, and that's what Jesus said, in this world you have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So you're going to have trials. You're going to have things that you go through. But God says that it's time for some enemies to be destroyed. Amen. Now let's read Romans 6. Romans 6. Now, oftentimes we preach the resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday resurrection sermon, but I want to take it a step further, and I want to preach it to you in a way this morning that I don't believe you've ever heard. Amen. At least I'll say this, I've never preached it this way. Romans chapter 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that as many of us as were baptized unto Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, everybody say even so, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Somebody say, this is me. I want to show you something here. Look at this. Back up this verse 5 again. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also. Do you realize in verse 5, I want you to see something here in verse 5. The words in the likeness and the word his were added by the interpreters. So it originally read, we shall be also of resurrection. So what are you saying, Pastor? What I'm saying is we are also supposed to operate in resurrection power. Oh, Jesus. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ raised from the dead dies no more, death has no dominion over us. Somebody say amen. I want to preach this morning. What's it to me? Let's pray. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you for that you raised your son from the dead. And we thank you, Lord, that we can come out this day and celebrate this resurrection. But Father, I ask right now that you speak to us through your word. Speak to your people. Let us grasp what the resurrection means to us as a church, as a body of believers, and help us to walk in and to access the power that you have given to your church. And somebody say amen. Now, the first song, the chorus says, I will not live, I will not die. I just read that to you. The resurrection power of Christ alive in me, I am free. Come on, somebody say, I am free. Come on, say it again. Say, I am free. I will not live. I will not die. I will live. I will not die. Hey, you got to die first. Spiritually speaking. That's where we're going. I will live. Everybody say, I will live. Come on, say it. I will live. Come on, say it again. I will live. I will not die. Now, see, that's not just talking about. Yes, he has the power. Oh, y'all got to help your pastor this morning. I feel this word stirring in my heart. He has the power. He came to defeat death, hell, and the grave. The sting of death is gone. Amen. Yeah, that's natural. Body's going to die one day. The Bible says it's appointed a man wants to die, then comes the judgment. But the thing is, there's power over death, and y'all got to hear this. Up until Jesus, no one had ever came back. No one had ever defeated death. They had never. Do you realize when the earthquake came that people got up out of their graves and walked around? Amen. Y'all got to see this. Somebody say it again. Say, I will live. I will not die. Okay, now, Stephanie, he's alive, he's alive, he's alive, with all power in his hand. He arose in glory with all power and authority. He conquered every enemy, and he put those enemies under my feet. Now, what I want to preach to you this morning is, it's not just about the fact. We get all excited oftentimes about the fact, yeah, he's alive, but what Jesus wants us to get excited about is the fact that because he's alive, that we have power over every enemy that ever came against the cross, and every enemy should be under our feet. We talk about Jesus is alive, and Jesus is saying, well, if you really believe I'm alive, why aren't you accessing grace and the power that I gave you through my death, burial, and resurrection, because you have power over every enemy to put them in their place. Oh, come on, somebody help me this morning. The children of Israel died and were buried in the Red Sea, and they resurrected on the other side. John the Baptist, when Jesus came, Jesus said, baptize me so that I can show the people through death, burial, and resurrection that I'm going to deliver you. God wants to deliver you from your past. He don't want you just to be the old person that you were trying to do better. I said, God wants to deliver you from your past. He don't want you just to be the old person that you were trying to do better. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things become new. I'm telling you, it's time for us to realize that the enemies belong under our feet. Y'all got to stay with me. I'm about to blow up. God didn't just come, Elder, to renovate an old house. He come to tear it down and build a brand new one. I'm not the man that I used to be. Oh, I'm so wanting to jump ahead. All right. The plan was for Christ to go to the cross, be buried, and be raised on the third day. Now, the prophets of old often talked about the children of Israel coming through the Red Sea. That's what they talked about. The disciples, Randy, talked about the resurrection of Jesus. That's what they talked about. Now, the historical relevance, real quick. Do you realize all kind of theories as to what happened to Jesus' body? You know, you have, who's ever heard of the swoon theory? The swoon theory says he didn't really die. He just thought he was dead. He just looked dead, but he wasn't really dead. There's a theory that someone came and stole the body away. You got that? There's a bunch of junk. Somebody say junk. Do you realize, had you ever heard this one? There's one that says that he had a twin. That it was his twin that they took down. And then Jesus came back and he looked just like him, you know. But it was his twin. Dumb stuff. All kind of stupid theories. But crosses remind us of what Jesus did. Remember what he said? He said, remember me, didn't he? He wants you to know how much God loved you. Amen? You must be somebody because God paid a lot to get you out of trouble. I said, you must be somebody because God paid a lot to get you out of trouble. He gave everything he had. He gave his very best to get you out of trouble. But yet we say, I'm nothing, I'm useless. No, don't talk about God's creation like that, because you are created in his image and in his likeness. You are somebody. He sees you as beneficial. We got to see people as beneficial. You know, you can find the bad in anybody. There it is. No. But you know what? If you're looking, you can find the good. What are you looking for? Oh, come on. That's another message. If God had the power to raise Jesus from the dead, he has the power to take away your problems. Well, I know God can raise Jesus from the dead, but I don't think he can take care of this situation. I know God can raise Jesus from the dead, but I don't think he can take care of my problems. Are you saying your problems are bigger than death? Are y'all hearing me? Oh, glory. Are you getting this? Brandon, he went to hell and shook the keys of death, hell, and the grave in the face of Satan. Listen, I don't think he just took them. I think he shook them right in his face and said, I've got the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And you know what? He brought people out. I'm telling you, he brought people out. He brought people out of hell right there that day. Elder, he went and took the keys. He has the authority. So what are you trying to say, Pastor? What I'm saying, you got to understand the historical relevance, why how much he loves you. You know what he said? He said, let my people go. He said, let my people go. So surely he can deliver us from our stuff. Surely he can deliver us from lust problems. And surely he can deliver us from addictions. And surely he can deliver us from depression. Surely he can deliver us from sickness. Surely he can deliver us from all of these things. Can somebody come into agreement with me? If he had the power to overcome death, hell, and the grave, surely he can take care of Bell County, Kentucky's problems. Surely we can start preaching a resurrection. You know what? I know I'm ahead of myself, but you know what the Lord said? The Lord says we're bringing spices on Sunday morning to anoint a dead body. Jesus is still in the tomb. He said, I'm not in the tomb. Why seek you the living among the dead? We need to start preaching a resurrected Savior that can set people free. Hey, listen, it wasn't just about a golf clap. And since he came out, I have the power to go. Since he came out, I have the power within me, because we are right here living in us is resurrection power. How many believes Jesus is resurrection power? Okay, how many's got him living in you? Where's that power at? Where's that power at? If he's living in us, we are that resurrection. What's y'all didn't get this. We are the resurrection. Oh, I'm glad Jesus arose from the dead. What are we doing to access the power that he came out with? Amen? Are y'all with me? If you're with me, say amen. There's power in the resurrection. I said there's power in the resurrection. Guess what? This is more than Easter bunnies. This is more than eggs. This is more than dressing up in brand new clothes. Some of y'all ain't seen me in a tie in a long time. Some of you never seen me in a tie. Amen. And it's starting to choke me right now. It's been a long time. The only time now I wear a tie is when I'm going to marry you or bury you. Had one guy, he said, you married me and buried me on the same day. Yeah, I seen him a while later, you know. That's before, listen, you know. When I first started preaching, it's been over 20 years ago. And how many knows that, you know, you get more wisdom with experience. Amen. You know, these people would call me up and say, I want you to marry me. Where at? Let's do it. You know, had this guy call me, friend of mine. We went to do the wedding at this little camp, you know, a little camp where we used to have the picnic up there in Harlan County. And he's a friend of mine. He said, we're getting married. He said, we're going to walk up here. He said, a little simple ceremony, nothing to it, Pastor. Just, it's okay. He said, her friend's going to sing a song. She's got a little karaoke box in the back. We come up front. I give her the cue to sing. She hits play, starts singing, Whose Bed Have Your Boots Been Under? Hey. I have more wisdom now. I had somebody call me 2 weeks ago. One married. Nope, don't do that. Not without counseling. Come on now. But the one guy I was saying, his marriage lasted about 2 weeks. He said, you married me and buried me in the same day. That was what he told me. How'd I get there? Let's flip that around. When Jesus came, he was buried, and we're supposed to be buried with him and married to him on the same day. So he buried us and married us. We're married to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We're not out here just to celebrate the fact that he arose from the dead. We're out here to celebrate what comes with that. Let the church be alive. I said, let the church be alive. All right, let's go. There's power in the resurrection. I don't know how I got here. I was talking about what we're wearing. It don't matter what you're wearing. You know, the fact is, if he hadn't arose from the dead, we'd be all dressed up, nowhere to go. Well, you look good. Where are you going? Justin, you look good. Where are you going? I don't know. I just put this suit on. You know what? Here's the thing. I don't care the people that's sitting at home on the couch this morning in jogging pants and a t-shirt that's hung over. There's resurrection power this morning for those folks. It's accessible if they'll come to Jesus and realize what he did and the price that he paid. This is not just a bless me club. This is the power of Jesus. All right, here we go. Historical relevance. Now, here's the personal connectivity. Somebody say, make it personal. This is not just about remembering the resurrection from a historical perspective, but from a personal experience. Not just buried with him. Go back, Jacob. Romans 6. Do you realize, can I take my time just for a minute? It's important we get this. Do you realize that Romans chapter 6 says, look what it says. What shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? What that's basically saying is, we're not supposed to, what's the Bible say? Where sin does abound, grace does much more. Right? So grace trumps sin. But when it says, shall we continue in sin, what it's actually saying is, should we still be like we were before? Amen? We're supposed to be a different person. God forbid, how that we're dead to sin, live any longer therein? No, you're not. So many of us were baptized in Jesus. We're baptized into his death. And we're buried with him by baptizing into death, verse 4. That like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in the newness of life. So this is not just about remembering his resurrection from a historical perspective, but if we're buried with him, and then we're supposed to be raised with him. And we just look at this in a symbolism of baptism, and it is that. Amen. But we got to see it in a spiritual sense. If we're buried with him, we're raised. And we have to bear our crosses, don't we? Disappointments. We bear our crosses. Sometimes you may be bearing a cross of a coworker. And somebody just gets under your skin. Some of you, your cross may be sitting next to you. Don't amen, husbands. Amen. Greg's not sitting next to Samantha. I can say it now. Your cross may be your job. Your cross may be one of your children. Your cross may be a spouse. But we have to bear our crosses. Amen? Daily. We bear our crosses. Amen? But, sometimes we'll even say like Paul, we may pray like Paul did, remove this thorn from my flesh. And God is saying my grace is sufficient. We have to die with him. We have to take our cross and we die with him. The flesh is crucified. Somebody say crucify the flesh. Amen. Something's nailing you to a cross. But how many's glad his story didn't end on a cross? Amen. Yours won't either. Amen. What I'm trying to say is you may be down right now, but you're not going to be there forever. I said you may be down right now, but you're not going to be there forever. He didn't just die, but on Sunday morning, he got up. Somebody say, he got up. He died to overcome every enemy, but on Sunday morning, he got up. And he's alive. And here's the thing. Paul said that I may know him in the fellowship of his sufferings as well as the power of his resurrection. So sometimes we go through some things. Amen. I've been through some pretty tough times myself. I've endured some things, Sherry. I went through anxiety and depression and a lot of pastors, I was talking to somebody the other day about this, a lot of pastors won't admit it because of pride. But in 2005, 2004 or something. 2002, they thought I had a heart attack and rushed me to Central Baptist in Lexington. Couldn't find anything wrong with my heart. They almost killed me in the hospital. How many's in nursing, medical field? What's that drug? How many's heard of Redivase? Have you ever heard of that? Redivase is a clot buster. You knew that, didn't you? That's what they give you when they look at you and say you're having a heart attack. And I had two doctors standing over me, a cardiologist, a great cardiologist, and a great surgeon. And they said, we think you're having a heart attack, and we're going to give you something to reverse it. And they gave me Redivase. Once you get Redivase, you can no longer have it again. It's been known to cause bleeding on the brain. It's that great of a blood thinner, clot buster. In 2004, I went through anxiety and depression to the point I couldn't hardly preach. I was a youth pastor at the time. On one occasion, I stepped into the pulpit to teach the youth and fell on my knees and said, I can't teach. And I had kids gathered around me, Sherry, praying for me. Yours. Amen? Not you. Yes, me. I went through some things. Amen? I said, I went through some things. I've been without work and gotten to where I just had to trust God and say, God, my trust and my faith is in you. Amen. God's brought me to a place to where I had to trust him. But can I tell you that though you have to bear your cross, that Sunday's on the way. You may be going through some stuff right now, but I'm telling you, Sunday's on the way. It may be Friday, but Sunday's on the way. You may feel like that you're in a place you can never get out, but I'm telling you, somebody needs to hear that message. Sunday's on the way. Somebody say, that's for me. All right. He's good, isn't he? Somebody say, he's good. Daniel, come up. Help me here. I'll try to close this. Last point. We got to have resurrected living. He doesn't take us through hardships to leave us there. He takes us through because there's something on the other side called resurrection. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Come on now, we got to see Jesus. Amen? We got to see Jesus. You know, how many was crushed last night? No, you know, Justin said he has scripture, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Newsflash, it's a game. Did you want to win, Pastor? I wanted to win. Was you rooting for the Cats? Yes, I was. It's a game. Can you hear me? All right? Look at it this way. We won't be up late tomorrow night on a work night, Greg. Because I promise you I ain't coming out to watch Duke in Wisconsin. If y'all want to come out, just come on out. Tell you what, we're not going to corrupt our church with Duke and Wisconsin anyway. They are the Blue Devils and the Badgers. All right, I'll quit meddling here. He takes us through because there's something on the other side called resurrection. Amen. We're not just cross people, but resurrection people. Amen. An empty tomb, here's what an empty, you know, and please, I hope you get this message today. An empty tomb is not just the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. An empty tomb is a sign of God's power. An empty tomb was God flexing his muscles. Amen? An empty tomb was God saying, oh, y'all got to hear this. An empty tomb is God saying, I can do anything. Amen? I can bring you out of whatever it is you're in. I can get the junk out of you. Oh, come on, somebody help me. Just a few more minutes. I can bring you out of anything that you're in. Again, are we saying that God can raise Jesus from the dead, but he can't deliver us from addictions? Are we saying that God can raise Jesus from the dead, but he can't deliver us from alcoholism? Oh, y'all ain't hearing me. An empty tomb is God saying, I can do anything. If I can raise Jesus from the dead, I can take care of any situation that you have. I can bless your finances. I can heal your body. I can deliver you from depression. Amen? That we got to get that revelation of what an empty tomb really, you know, we celebrate Jesus, and we celebrate the fact that he arose from the dead, but we're leaving out the fact that that includes us and the power that is available to us because of an empty tomb. I'm passionate about this. Amen? How many's going to agree because of an empty tomb that God can bring this region out? How many believes God can, because of an empty tomb, God can bring this region out of poverty? Oh, preacher, wait a minute. Didn't you hear? Didn't you say, if you've seen the news, you know, our economy's in trouble. Coal's going down. They laid Jesus in the tomb dead. People came to anoint a dead body. Again, God said, you know, we got to get Jesus out of the tomb. We got to stop trying to anoint a dead body. We got to anoint a Jesus that's alive. Amen. On Sunday, the tomb was empty. Sunday was the place he got up. Sunday was the place he started walking around in the garden. How many remembers what I said? God came to restore what was in the garden. The garden, they thought he was a gardener. He said, I am the gardener. I came to restore the garden. Basically. Are you with me? Amen. It's time for us to stop coming to church and just seeing a Jesus that died and arose, but not accessing the power. Will somebody say amen? It's time to get Jesus out of the tomb. It's time for the body to come alive again. Somebody say, make us alive, Lord. You got to get to the point where you say, a cross can't hold me. A grave can't hold me. Somebody say, I'm coming out. Come on. Oh, y'all got to get that. I'm going to try to close here. Come on, say, a cross can't hold me. I'm coming out. And the fact is, there's nothing, Katie, there's nothing that can hold us. Nothing. Nothing can hold us. Because we are the blessed of God. And I'm going to declare it until the day I die that we have the power of the resurrection living inside of us because Jesus lives within us. You are now the ark of his presence. You are the ark of the covenant. That's where God meets with you. I mean, that's where Jesus, that you are, because he lives inside of you. You have access in the Holy of Holies. And you have access to all the power. You're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Witches can't curse this. What God has blessed, witches can't curse. Because blessed cursed is he who hung on a tree. He came to take away the curse and to bring the blessing. It's time to walk in the resurrection power. It's time to walk in the blessing of Jesus Christ. It's time to be the church. I'm trying to quit, but it's time to be the church, not just celebrating what Jesus did, but it's time to be the church and rise up with resurrection power and win this world for Jesus Christ. Get these people in here that need to be saved. Introduce them. Amen. How many's glad he left the curse in the tomb? He replaced sorrow with joy. Amen. Let's all stand. Somebody say, I refuse to be defeated. You know what they said about me when I got saved? They said, that pothead will never make it. I could tell you awesome stories. When I was 17 years old, I was in Indianapolis, Indiana, selling marijuana and PCP at 17. Jesus got a hold of me and they said, that boy will never make it. God says, I'm gonna let him deliver my word. Amen. There's power to change us. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord is going to raise up a standard against him. When the children of Israel, okay, and I'm going to close here, I promise, but Chris, when the children of Israel came through the Red Sea and Pharaoh came after them, they had taken a bunch of stuff. He wasn't so concerned about the slaves. He could get more slaves. He wanted the stuff back. Satan don't want you to have anything. He don't want you to have authority. Amen. He's trying to steal everything back that God has given you. But when they were baptized in the Red Sea, they were resurrected on the other side, and God said, go take the land. Amen. Somebody say, we have the power. And I'm speaking this morning that your mind is loosed. Everybody touch your head. Your mind is loosed because the tomb is empty. Come on. Guys, come on up, Jill. Get us a song. Come on, somebody say, my mind is loose. Somebody say, I'm free. Come on, say it again. Say, I'm free. Look what it says. Verse 7, he that is dead is freed from sin. Somebody say, I'm free. I'm going to declare your mind is loosed, your feet are loosed, your hands are loosed. One more thing. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Come on. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It's time for us to open our mouths and say it. Because the tomb is empty. If we just celebrate the fact that he's no longer there and we don't access the power of the resurrection within us, what good is it?
For more information about Our Father's House or upcoming events, please log on to www.ourfathershouseky.org.